This is one of the people that we love here, Nancy Fitzgerald from Anchors Away, a biblical worldview ministry based in Carmel, helping to teach our young people, high school and college age, how to stand firmly in their faith, because if you haven't noticed, they are going to be challenged when they age out of their youth groups, when they go away to college, even if it's a Christian college. Because Nancy, I remember taking my son to orientation day, Christian college. They stood right there on the stage and said, yes, we know we're a Christian university, but your child's faith will be challenged here. I'm like, what? Really? And it was. Good morning.
Yes. I mean, good morning. Good morning, Veronica.
Good morning, Nancy. How are you?
I'm good. Good to hear your sweet voice this morning.
Thank you.
But you know, Kelly, what you just said about dropping Isaac off at college and being told there's not a lot of security here. This is the point of what we're talking about today. This progressive Christianity that is sneaking not only into the churches, we're going to be talking about that, but onto college campuses, Christian college campuses. And I heard this last week that a student who is in a seminary in D.C., she said that she was downgraded on one of her papers because she refused to go along with her teacher, who said, her professor, who said that they must write about the Genesis as if it were a fable, and strong teaching. So, and this is a seminary, but this is happening in Christian colleges, as of course other colleges as well, our high schools, but now it's into the church. And I think it's something that we need to be alerted to, because like Satan, it's who is very deceptive, very crafty, it's seeping in, and it's shaking the faith of those who are confronted with this from their traditional foundations of faith. Because essentially what progressive Christianity is doing, it's rejecting original sin. And if you reject original sin, then there's no need for a savior. And it's the sneakiness of Satan, and people are now teaching in churches and in universities, colleges, that there was no original sin. Adam and Eve didn't really sin. And by the way, God is mean, and he's an abuser because his son, he made his son die. So this is twisted, but it's causing people to stumble, and that's why we need to talk about it.
So, Nancy, you've given us a glimpse of progressive Christianity, but in contrast, sum up what the Christian gospel is.
Yeah, so they reject the gospel, and I think it's good for all Christians, you know, all of us, to review and know what is the gospel. And it's doesn't have anything attached to it. It's simple and to the point. And actually, the gospel was given to the first church. Now, Paul talks about the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 7. This was not the first time it was introduced by Paul. It was introduced 20 or so years before when the church began. And in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 7, it writes, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. He appeared to James and then to all the apostles." The death of Jesus Christ, God-man, for all the sins. And this is magnificent story. And it reflects God's love. And because we know it happened, we'll talk about that in a second, we can know that our sins are forgiven, and we need to believe. God is saying, believe and receive salvation. That is the gospel. That is the good news for all of us.
Well, I'm sure you've been asked this question before, Nancy, especially by the young people that you help to teach and lead. Because we know God is sovereign. He is all powerful. There is none like him. There is none other besides him. He can do anything. But why did Jesus have to die for God to do what he has done?
And this is an amazing question. Why did God have to die? Why did Jesus have to die? Because essentially, you know, Jesus, part of the Trinity, God himself, was hung on a cross willingly. And why did he have to die? Because Romans 3:22, for the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. And this is God's gift of his son, because Jesus, being sinless, was the only one who could pay the price for our sin. Jesus went willingly in obedience to his Father, for God so loved the world. And it was born out of God's love, sacrificial love, for humankind. And it's just such a beautiful story. But what we need to understand is it's true. And Christians, if you hear differently, reject anything that comes against this. And I'll tell you why, having done so much research on this. There's more historical evidence to prove the death and resurrection of Jesus than any other event in the history of the world. And I love what historian Thomas Hale points out. He said this: if Jesus had in fact not risen from the dead, Paul could not have written those words. There were too many people still around who would have called him a liar. And it's the cornerstone of our faith. Once the death and resurrection, once the atonement is removed or tries to be removed from the foundations of their faith, everything crumbles. And this is the thing, and this is what Satan always tries to do, is to discount the deity of God, his death, and his resurrection. And that's the thing. We're told to be, Paul warned us continually, get back to the gospel. In Galatians, you know, why have you forgotten the gospel? He said, he was so ticked, because it is something that Christians have to know so we can protect ourselves against progressive Christians who don't believe in sin and certainly reject the gospel, the Christian gospel.
Yeah, Nancy, wow. I'm sitting up here just, oh, I love it. This is great. But you mentioned that the progressive Christianity is aggressively working its way into mainstream Christianity and is far from being Christian. What are some of its beliefs?
Yeah, it's outrageous. First of all, they see evangelical Christianity as evil. In other words, for people to become Christians and try to spread the good news of Jesus, they consider to be evil. They believe it's more important what you do rather than what you believe. And they say, do not believe in that universal truth. We do not believe in universal truth, they would say. That is not true for everybody that they must believe. But just that statement alone is a statement of their definition of truth. So it's, as usual, very confusing when Satan tries to get involved, especially at the rate that he's doing in this movement. They also believe that the Bible's not inspired by God, but rather a journey of man's thoughts and ideas. There you go. in that God is a cosmic child abuser because he killed his son. Mm. On the other hand, they don't believe in right and wrong. But making the movement extremely hypocritical, they see Jesus as a victim of an evil God. And then, of course, because they don't believe in sin, there's no need for atonement. So, and I know you've probably heard of Brian McLaren, one of the founders of the Emergent Church, who calls the biblical gospel pagan. So it's outrageous to think that this could move like it is. I'm seeing it here in Indianapolis. There are many churches who have bitten this apple. But sadly enough, there are many more Christians who have gone down because of it. And we just need to sound the alarm. These people are not telling you the truth. And if your churches stop preaching the gospel, get out and take your friends with you.
Well, Nancy, I know you just started to touch on what some of the signs are to identify progressive Christianity, but I want to go through that list as a whole. So what I'm going to do, if you can, I'm going to have you hang on the line for just a minute. We need to take a short break, and we're going to come back and dig into that for the last two or three minutes of our segment with Nancy on the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week. What are some of the signs that we can look for to identify progressive Christianity so that we do know how to respond? We'll be right back after this. What are some of the signs to identify progressive Christianity?
Yes, and again, remember, this is like the frog boiling in water. It is deceitful and it seeps in. It doesn't rush in, it seeps in. But again, like we said just a moment ago, the gospel is no longer preached, but rather social justice is the main focus. It's about the accused and the accuser. And again, social justice, meaning helping others, is not what we're talking about. Christians should be on the front lines, like you were talking about, Veronica, with the homeless. We should be down there learning their story, encouraging, helping them, educating these people. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about laying the gospel aside and doing your own agenda of what you think is right. So that's one thing. Another thing, biblical authority gives ways to personal feelings in doing good things. It's the feeling, because remember, the Bible is not the word of God, according to them. It is just a journal of feelings. Mm-hmm. And the third thing, divine inspiration of the scriptures gives way to whatever makes me feel good. Again, this includes a complete relaxation of all sexual ethics that are addressed in the scriptures. So, because it's not the word of God. And I think, again, for some reason, we're seeing this sexual upheaval in our culture. We have been for several years, but it's just getting to the point where it's overwhelming and it's touching us personally, or we know people who have been impacted by this. But all goes with them. And there's no right and wrong. But I think for your listeners, Alyssa Childers, in her book, Another Gospel, you can get this on Amazon, tells the story of her pastor's deceitful work of moving his church into this progressive Christian movement. Many lives, not only in this church, but throughout, were ruined by those who put their faith in a man who called himself their pastor. And she ended up, after 4 months of being tutored by him in this, leaving the church. And I think it's important, I'm not going to say much more, but I want to quote what she said. She said this: throughout this journey, I've discovered that the core historical claims of Christianity are true. I've learned that the Bible, though attacked and maligned century after century, stands tall above the rubble of accusations that have been piled up against it. I've come to know that the Christian worldview is the only one that can sufficiently explain reality. I've rediscovered Jesus, the confounding preacher from Nazareth who split history in two and who kept his word never to leave me. And, you know, we as Christians, if you're listening to this in our feeling, I can't defend my faith, you know, be listening to Moody. Mm-hmm. Learn what you're hearing here throughout the day. But please build up your faith by studying a biblical Christian worldview. And we'd be happy to help you do that. Just go to anchorsaway.org, sign up for boot camp. You can go through video lessons that will guide you and build up in you a worldview mm-hmm. that will not be broken by movements like this. We've just got to become stronger. It just mm-hmm. kills me to see all these people struggling, you know, yeah. going to seminary and having pagan teachers there, going to Christian colleges and being disappointed. That's why the majority of kids going into mm-hmm. college will lose their faith in Christian schools as well as secular. So we as parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles have got to tighten our belts a little bit and get involved.
Mm-hmm. Which is why we appreciate the work you're doing at Anchors Away. We do have a question that came through via our texting system, Nancy. And the question is that I have a question about progressive Christianity. Do mm-hmm. people who believe in this way call themselves Christians? And if so, how can they, if they reject Christ and the gospel?
That's the whole caveat right there. Yes, they do call themselves Christians. Yes, they do.
Wow.
And how? Because they do. That's why they just call themselves Christians, which is just such an atrocity because they don't see Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. But again, that's how deceitful this is. So like forever, you know, if somebody says they're a Christian, what do you mean by Christian? Let's try that mm-hmm. question on. Mm-hmm. Just identifying these people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that Jesus is God? And that's what we teach in our classes. If somebody identifies with a Christian, ask them this question. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe he died and rose again? And you will find by Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and people from movements like this that they cannot honestly answer those questions. And if they're being honest with you, they will tell you. But then that's when we start talking to these people and trying to help them and encourage them by, you know, by sharing the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 with them. You know, encouraging them to say, hey, get back to the truth. Get back to the foundations of the Bible. They're lying to you. They're lying to you. Here it is. And help these people. Because, you know, like Alyssa, I mean, she felt that she was pretty well grounded, but found out quickly she couldn't even defend herself with the very cornerstone of the Christian.
Yeah. Well, Nancy, this has been enlightening, and I'm mm-hmm. so glad that you took this question on today, because these things, as we said just even before we got you on the line to talk this morning, with the way that the enemy works, he can be so craftily subtle that before we know it, mm-hmm. this mess has gotten into the church, and it has permeated our kids' lives, and we have got to be sober and alert and on the lookout mm-hmm. for our enemy. I was reading this last night, the devil who prowls around like a roaring lion,
yes.
seeking whom he may devour. Listen, I know a lot of you wanted to hear this again and get more information. You can connect with Nancy at Anchors Away by clicking on the resources tab at kellyandsteve.org. And do go there and take a look at her website and look into the biblical worldview training that she has coming up. There's so much there that's really going to help deepen your faith and strengthen your faith, and mm-hmm. even more importantly, to help you do that for your kids. Nancy, thank you for this today.
Yes, this was really good.
Well, thank you, both of you, and even, you know, Steve, who's on vacation. I'm sure he's listening, but, you know, the job you do is so critically important because, you know, we develop our faith on truth, not on feelings. And, yeah. and this is the bottom line of all cults. It's feeling based. And mm-hmm. we just have to ground ourselves. So thank you so much for being a part of that.
All right. We love you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Love you, Nancy. Thank you.
Love you guys, too. Blessings.
You too. It is 7:30, and again, that's the Biblical Worldview Question of the Week. Nancy Fitzgerald, get connected by clicking on the Resources tab at kellyandsteve.org.